Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wildo, and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, Crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago, look under Wildo and Sylvie, or Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up? All four of us back together again.
It is truly brilliant to watch the two of you knuckleheads bob your heads back and forth.
You like
his
that?
Trey Tunes is doing his thing.
Like a Night at the Roxbury?
Oh, it did.
Get our groove on.
You guys were in unison as well. It was perfect.
Am I Will Ferrell lack of rhythm. Chris Kattan? Which one? I don't know.
Boy, I love the Beastie Boys, though. And that album is one of the greatest albums of my high school. It was at the end of my high school year. I think it was Licensed to Ill.
Is
that right?
I believe you're right.
Yurko, you had to be a big Paul Revere fan. You had to be a big fan of the Beastie Boys back in the day.
I was a Brass Monkey guy.
Brass Monkey.
That funky monkey.
There they go. All three of them in unison. My heavens.
That funky monkey.
I don't know the words after Brass Monkey.
Either do I. Yeah. That's all I know. It's good enough for me.
So I grew up listening to Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson on A-Track.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's what I was exposed to as a kid.
The Highwaymen.
Yeah.
Boys, we made it. Week 1 in the NFL in the books, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good week. It was a fun week. I mean, the Bears shit the bed, but it was a fun weekend.
I think we were joking. I was joking with someone yesterday. I was going to bring it up on the show today. The Thursday night game, spectacular.
Yeah.
The Monday night game, like one of the craziest finishes, spectacular. And then a big pile of dog shit from the Bears on Sunday night football. All the primetime windows, Thursday, Monday night, great Sunday night football shit.
As expected, right?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of saw that one coming.
I mean, did anyone? Well, I know Johnny. But Johnny, I think you were playing the contrarian on that front.
I wasn't playing the contrarian. I was hopeful that the Bears would put forth an effort, but that quickly subsided, guys.
But isn't that, I mean, that was kind of like a Hail Mary on your behalf, wasn't it? Because every matchup favored the home team on Sunday night.
Oh, God, yeah. I get what Yurko's saying. Like, you're going to get great effort normally in week 1, you know? But, like, I think it was wishful thinking. That wasn't a good matchup.
That's my point.
How many underdogs covered in week 1?
12. 12 underdogs covered.
Okay, right? Well, I understand what Yurko was going for.
Oh, right, yes. That's what Yurko was shooting for.
Why not the Bears?
But that matchup looked particularly bad.
Because we have seen consistently over the last year and a half, 2 years, that this team does not stack up, nor do they match up well against better teams. They can beat the lesser teams in this league, and their coaching staff doesn't do them any favors helping them get past teams that you would consider to be better teams than them. There's a big reason why I think lesser teams rise to the occasion against good teams. In a lot of instances, it's because they've been prepared and they've been coached well, and guys play well. But there's nothing about, like, our group of coaches that leads me to believe that we are going to find ourselves in a matchup advantage.
Like, let me ask you guys this. Has Nagy, I know Sylvie's answer, has Nagy ever really, like, outwitted anybody? When they beat the Rams in 18, Yurko was at that game. We all remember that game. That was Vic Fangio. I mean, that was Vic outwitting Sean McVay, right?
Don't you remember, they used that third down noise and they got the crowd in the game because what was McVay doing? They knew that McVay was telling Goff where to go. He was in his headset.
Yeah.
So they made it as loud as can be. And then when 15 seconds, the sound goes off.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, Goff's flying blind. It was a defensive game plan.
Game was cold and they quit.
I know, but
game.
Vic did
they
some.
Hated
Todd
the cold
Gurley,
weather.
Remember how cold Todd Gurley was?
You got to admit, Vic did some stuff schematically. Like Sean McVay famously is on the sideline of the Super Bowl, recognizing what Belichick is doing. He says on the headset, they're doing Bears. They're doing what the Bears did to us. So, like, Vic Fangio outwitted.
Yes.
And the elements helped, like Yurko said, and what Sylvie said about the noise. Fine. Other than that, like, has Nagy gone toe-to-toe with a good head coach and outwitted?
That's why I'm saying to you, there's never a matchup. And we can look on the field, or you can look at Matt Nagy squaring off. Whether it's Raheem Morris, who is the new defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams, or you want to go offense to offense. Like, when you look at this matchup, I get the point that Yerk's making. Anything can happen in an NFL game. I get all
of
that.
One, yeah.
But I'm such a skeptic now after 3+ years that we are ever going to be in a schematic advantage. Like, here's, and it's something we've all been yelling about for the last 48 hours. I get why your offensive game plan, and I mentioned this to you, Carm, I get why the game plan was focused on a quick release because you didn't trust your line. But at some point, there has to be an element. I heard Yurko talking about the sluggo routes, the double moves. At some point, you do have to take shots down the field or else you are running a high school offense, and it's why this team can't beat better teams. You can beat lesser teams running that style. You can't beat the good teams doing it. It's crazy.
It's sad. It was a sad state of affairs if you're a Bears fan. In another national primetime broadcast, you go up and you just, I mean, you crap the bed. It's woeful. I still want to, how does Eddie Goldman get hurt Monday at practice?
Who knows?
What the hell are you doing Monday at practice that's going to cause a problem for your football
they
team?
They don't hit it all anyway these days.
It's Labor Day. I mean, what is he doing?
You want to see him play. You've been telling Carmen that for weeks. Does Eddie Goldman want to play?
Year and a half?
That's a real question mark I have. I think he loves the checks. I don't know if he wants to play anymore.
When he is on the field and he is an inspired guy, he is
he's
a difference
good.
Maker.
He's good.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's good.
So this I get a lot. You know, Sylvie, you're so negative, blah, blah, blah. And Sylvie, it's just week one. That's the fucking problem. This isn't just a week one problem. I feel like I'm back in November. It's everything that we've said about this coaching staff, that this is a continuation of the crap that we've been getting for the last couple of years, coming off a 12-4 season and never then taking another step forward and continually regressing. Now the defense is regressing. It's not like that this is a new season. It's not like this is a new chapter. This is just the same pile of crap that we've been served up. It's why I can't get over a lot of the stuff that you were saying. Like not even schematically. I brought this up to Waddle. Did you guys think that the kicking derby passed the smell test? How many kickers they bring in that offseason? The Augusta Silence?
2 years ago? Right?
Yeah, a couple of, well, coming off
two,
of 18.
2 off-seasons ago, yeah.
Right, remember it was the kicker's fault. And,
yeah.
Well, first of all, they didn't identify that he sucked to begin with.
That was a problem.
And they didn't make him go kick at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
So we could even back it up further. Okay, now they identify, he goes on, it makes it easy for them. He goes on the Today Show. They want nothing to do with him anymore. Right. Now what do? You make it a circus.
Yes.
You bring in 14 circus. Fucking kickers. Yeah. You're doing, did you even find a kicker out of the 14?
No, they did not. They found one off the scrap heap after that.
Right.
That's where they found
it. Do you remember that?
Which, by the way, is where you should find your fucking kickers off the scrap heap.
Do you remember when Eddie Pinheiro lined up against the Chargers?
Yeah.
Do you remember when he told you,
I heard you the other day.
That it wasn't at the right hash?
I heard you complaining.
He's more comfortable at the other hash. Yes. But was Matt Nagy, as the offensive coordinator, interested in downing the football and the proper hash for his new kicker?
I thought you were going to swear it for a second when I heard you last week talking about that. I said, I hope he doesn't think it's crosstalk unhinged, because I thought he was going to say, fucking Matt Nagy didn't know what hash to put the fucking ball
when
on.
When we get Big Cat on, I want to swear almost every time.
I bet.
Because I'm starting to get used to swearing.
I know.
Doesn't this kind of summarize the mentality when it comes to your confidence in your coach and his plan of attack? He is dead set. He believes that the handling of the rookie quarterback, he's doing it the right way because it's the way they did it in Kansas City. I'm comparing a lion with with a fucking squirrel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
A house cat.
Right. Well, I'm not even that. Not even the same family. I got a squirrel over here, and you're comparing it to a whale. You couldn't have two more uncomparable, incompatible, whatever. Like, when you try to sell me that this is why it worked this way in Kansas City and compare that situation, at that point, don't you just throw your hands in the air and go, The process is flawed.
Why do Belichick's guys fail? Because they're not Belichick. They're all trying to be Belichick. They're not fucking Bill Belichick.
And Nagy's not fucking Andy Reid. Yeah, again, I said that.
Don't just do it because Andy did. Yeah, he's not fucking right. Yeah, we said that last week.
In a row, yeah.
Yeah, we, Waddle and I jumped all over last week, too. We did it again. We said, boy, we hope not. He's a married man, Sylvie. Jeez. I mean.
Not just that. The visual is just not working for me.
We don't need.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, and Yurko's been saying that all offseason. Like, well, he's doing this because that's the way Andy did it in Kansas City. Well, that's not a good enough reason. I'm sorry.
How about all the hard thinking Matt Nagy has done in the offseason? You know he went back to the drawing board about the fashion, right? You know he talked about it with his wife, the guy who hangs up every play call sheet in his basement. You know that this was a calculated decision not to wear the visor anymore.
Does he still hang up the play sheets on the... Boy, that's like smearing poop all over your walls.
I can't imagine.
That's when they take handfuls of your own feces and just rubbing your walls down with
After that Rams game, here's my play sheet when I didn't allow anyone to run more than a 10-yard route.
You can't
Let's
put that
Let's get
out,
it up
right?
on the wall,
There's
kids.
No way. You can only put the wins up on the wall, right? Even those are horse shit, but I mean...
No, Carr, because this is a coaching moment for me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's a learning moment for me.
Yeah.
Sort of like the Eddie Jackson learning moment.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years into the league.
That's not a learning moment. You get if we're allowed to fine you, if the NFL Players Association rules allow me to fine you for that mistake, I'm fining you.
Coughlin would have, right, Yerk? Would Coughlin fine you for that?
For which one?
For not touching a guy down?
No, because it's something that happens on the football field. They can't do that, really.
I know
they
saying.
Can't, but my point is to describe that as a learning moment for Eddie.
Coughlin
went
nuts, though.
Listen, that's idiotic. That's dumb.
Yeah, it is.
Talking about a guy that's gone to the Pro Bowl. You're talking about a guy who's in his fifth year.
And you compare that approach with what we saw just in that short clip from Mike Vrabel when they talked about a mistake that Julio Jones, a future Hall of Famer possibly, makes a mistake that took them from 3rd-and-1 to 3rd-and-16.
Yeah.
And Vrabel says, we don't coach that shit. We don't teach that shit. We don't accept that shit.
Yeah.
Right, a Hall of Fame player there. Yeah. I mean, he's not scared to call him out.
You shouldn't be when a guy does something that boneheaded.
Can we, Waddle, let's set the stage, because I heard them talk about it yesterday on Carmen and Yurko, and we were off, so we haven't talked about it on our show yet.
Getting kicked out of a nice restaurant.
Let's get kicked out. Let's set the stage for what happened at Swift & Son. Tell the story, Waddle.
I don't know how. We were talking about something. We were all having a really good time. Oh, we were having a football conversation. Our owners, Steve Polizziner and Craig Karmazin, are there. Mike Thomas is there. Cap and Jay Hood. It's the two of us. It's Carm. It's the good kid.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody?
No,
I think
that the was governor, it. The governor was in the corner of the restaurant. Governor Pritzker.
Party of 15, by the way.
Yeah. Not a green vegetable to be found on that table.
I don't know how we got into the football conversation.
Well, we were talking football all night.
Right, but then I don't think I kicked Sylvie under the table or that he kicked me under the table. But we broached the conversation with this Bears team so woefully inept in so many different spots, and their secondary was obviously going to be a weakness. We knew that, and we knew their propensity for, you know, giving up all that shit. And Sylvie and I just started.
We lit the candle.
Wouldn't Kyle Fuller look better in that secondary?
No.
Yes, he would.
There are some good inner show fights. Like, it's the Devin Hester Hall of Fame. Yeah. Between the two shows.
I've sort of given up on that. I have.
It has been. Yeah. Like, there are several things we agree with you guys on. Yeah. We ride arm in arm.
Yeah.
But there are some things that it shows.
Yes.
And the Kyle Fuller thing. Next thing you know,
what Karm is doing is misrepresenting us loudly.
Of course he is.
Screaming the word fuck as loud as he can.
You don't even know what we're arguing.
You're arguing that they should have cut Nick Foles instead of Kyle Fuller, which they can't do because they're underwater with Nick Foles' contract. They're completely underwater
with
it.
What about Jimmy Graham?
They're underwater with his too, by the way.
Why'd they sign Andy Dalton?
How about
if they
Jimmy
needed money and they need a left tackle?
Well, what does that have to do with Kyle Fuller?
Okay, but the horse has already left the barn with regard to evaluating Ryan Pace. And we agree with you that a good general manager can, quote-unquote,
trim the fat. That's what I say.
But that horse left the barn. This is year seven.
He's still in the fucking barn. Okay. I mean, why is this guy running the barn if he can't do it?
We're going to put that over here. But in the here and now, when your team, you know they're going to suck in the secondary. When the general manager makes a decision to go away from a good player, not a great player, not a player that you leave isolated, but a guy that makes you better, it's just another fucking kick to the nuts.
Carm, I've always said, why sign Andy Dalton when all you want this offense to do is run 10-yard stick routes? And Nick Foles can be the quarterback for what you signed him for. You gave up a fourth. Why did you go out and sign Andy Dalton when you're up against the cap for $10 million?
Good question.
Why is Jimmy Graham still on this team?
Good question.
You have four other tight ends that you kept. You kept Horsted. You
is that 3.5 tight ends?
Yeah,
is that
his four fucking tight fingers ends? All messed up.
Jesse James. Yeah. Cole Kmet obviously is the guy who's Horsted. Playing most of the time. And then there was a fourth I always forget.
It's Horsted.
It's Holtz. James.
PJ James.
JP Holtz.
You know how many snaps Jimmy Graham played?
Do
you
like 18.
Try 14.
14 snaps, yeah.
You're paying a guy $8 million to play 14
that's
snaps.
That's our point. That while, okay, Kyle Fuller may not be the primest beef out there.
He's coming off a bad 2020.
There's some fat there.
There's fat.
But Waddle and I, do you know how fucking fat this other shit is over here? There's all this gross.
A gristle.
It's just so gross that you got to cut it. It's obvious that you got to get rid of this from this piece of meat.
And by the way, they got themselves into that. I looked at some of the numbers with this stuff too. They got themselves in trouble with the Kyle Fuller salary because they kicked it down the road.
Well, you always do.
And I know, but also we were yelling at each other talking about it was easier to save money with Fuller than Hicks. It's not. It's like a difference of $500,000. Okay, so it's $500,000.
It would have been easier to cut Hicks, you're saying?
It's comparable.
Gotcha.
And they tried they tried to get Fuller to take a pay cut.
And he wouldn't.
It wasn't just a pay cut. They wanted him to take more than a 50% pay cut. And what Kyle Fuller said was, I'll go out there, sign a one-year deal with the Denver Broncos for $10 million. The salary cap will reset after this year because things went down. The pool of money will be larger in the 2022 season. And he'll go out. So he was like, I'm not coming back here. They tried to bring him back, but he said, fuck you, I'm out.
And so what pisses me off is that, I guess you're right, that the organization's not good enough to trim the fat.
Yes,
but
they can.
For anybody to argue that, like,
nobody's
do you know what, and pro football is not for everybody. I get it. PFF. Yurko kind of hates it. I know Waddle sometimes, you know, but.
Like a tool in your toolbox. It's not, it's not a hammer. It's not a wrench.
And so I totally agree with that. I actually, in my argument, was like, you're talking about the 15th maybe best corner. They had him ranked as the 21st best corner. Not the 21st best player.
Carm,
the 21st best corner.
The 15th. Listen, I wish we had a 15th ranked cornerback.
But why can't they figure out
how
to do what organizations You have Eddie Jackson tackle. On the I'll back end, a safety who doesn't fucking want
Touché,
to tackle.
I'll give you that.
Forget can't. Doesn't want to tackle.
I'll give you that. Touche.
So that was all. So anyway,
Carmen then is standing up in the restaurant.
Oh, I wasn't sitting.
No, he was sitting. But he was screaming.
We were yelling at each other.
This is how bad it was. The good kid was trying to calm him down.
Yes. Yeah. And Yurko.
And Yurko's the one who hates Kyle Fuller more than
me. Right. Carl was out of line, though. I mean, I'd never heard such language.
This older guy comes over. I didn't know who the guy was. I found
out. A gentleman.
The
guy was a gentleman.
Gentleman and a scholar, as you like.
He was like a maître d', right?
Yeah, but I didn't know this at first.
No. He was just a guy at the restaurant.
He worked at the restaurant.
Oh, yeah. He works there.
Yeah.
So I didn't know. At first, I think he's eating. And I'm like, this guy's coming up here, and he's complimenting us. He's like, I listen to you guys all the time. Yeah. I think you guys are awesome.
And my wife actually listens more than I do.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is fucking great. We got our bosses here. This guy in the middle of Swift and Sons is recognizing us. This is fantastic. And then he drops to the butt. He goes, but got a couple complaints over here from tables. Yeah.
The old people are mad.
And then I just heard two words. Vulgar language.
Yeah.
And then I got up.
So
and I
he
go,
left.
I'm fucking out. I'm not staying
I'm
through
not
this.
Shocked.
I have nothing to do with this. Carmen's
first guy off the Titanic pushing the women and the children away.
What the fuck
away.
Did I do? He's
first
embarrassing
guy.
Us. Not you, not Waddle, not me.
See, this was Carm, or the good kid is looking over and be like, Carm, watch the language. Sylvie gets up and runs to the other room.
Yeah. Like, I want no part of a
then
scolding.
The waiter came over and he's like, don't fucking listen to him.
That's what the waiter said.
Oh, did the waiter say that?
Oh, yeah. He goes, you guys are sitting in a public place in a restaurant having fun.
When you join us on Friday with your picks for the weekend, we're going to bring on Kevin Bame, and you have to apologize to Kevin Bame.
No, you don't. We stayed at Swift & Sons until probably about, we stayed long after you guys did.
Well, you took the train, right? Yeah, I was driving Miss Daisy or whatever it was.
Me and Hoodie. Cap left. Cap always needs beauty. He's always running out. Like, he's the first one out.
He was there early, too. You got to remember that.
It was me, Hoodie, Mike Thomas, our boss, and then our owner and our president, Craig Karmazin and Steve Paltzi.
I wanted to watch the football game, and I'm glad I got home.
I got home for about the last two minutes and then the overtime. I did get home late for that. Yeah, we got home late. We stayed at the table. We had a nice time. We had fun.
Well, you could keep drinking because you were taking the train.
We finished all the dessert.
Yeah. Did you apologize? I think at one point Craig was asking you to apologize to him.
No, he was busting my balls.
Oh, he wasn't serious.
No, he wasn't serious. No.
At that point, I had to go. I went to find Sylvie. He was under a table in the other room.
Hiding
away. I had the piss to begin with.
I'm sure, if I'm
going to listen to this guy scold us, I'm going to the bathroom.
We had another segment idea that came out of that night. I don't even think it's like, I don't know if we can do it.
What was it?
Who's hiding now?
Who's the douche? Yeah.
No. A fresh segment, a new one.
We had a fresh one.
What is it?
Can we say it on here? Like our boss is pretty cool letting us do this, but I don't know. There are a few
Why don't we call it who makes Carm warm and fuzzy?
Yeah, that's probably a good way to do it. Yeah. Because we were talking about Herbert.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
sports players, athletes that make Carm feel warm and fuzzy.
Well, we said in general, the five guys that would make, because I was like, boy, Herbert.
Really warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, and Steve goes, name the top five. We might as well. Let's do a new segment. Do the top five guys.
If Shohei Ohtani was pitching, watching Shohei Ohtani in a game pitch and hit?
No, I don't think so.
That doesn't make you get very excited?
I'm going to see Shohei.
Dirty Johnny's uncle?
I'm going to see Shohei, but no, not like that. Like
Patrick Mahomes, watching him play up close has got to be.
Mahomes, Herbert.
And that comes, he's a great player, but that's about our quarterback envy as much as anything.
Ryan Gosling, you know.
Yes, you did.
All right, so this is other than not just sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you've vocalized your love of Tom Brady lately very well. Just like what is he doing illegal?
Come on.
Then, like, the hair's looking better. You mentioned the skin.
Have you seen the commercial for cryptocurrency?
Yes.
From the bar in Boston?
Yes.
Funniest thing you've ever seen.
It's great. How about the bread commercial from Subway? Like, it's brilliant. Yeah. All of a sudden, this guy, I mean, he looks like he's 30. He looks like his skin is getting younger. It's something is fishy. I'm telling you. It's got to be.
Fish oil.
I take fish oil.
And I don't look like that.
Look at his skin.
Yeah.
like somebody put a mess.
That's right. Like, this is not an advertisement for fish oil.
I mean,
like somebody lit my face on fire and put it out with a rake.
I take fish oil. I take collagen peptides. I eat well. Like, I don't understand it. There's something not right happening. I don't know what it is, but
what did Cutler call it? Cutler brought it up. What did he say that Brady's doing? He told us Friday. Something.
I don't know.
Because he mentioned it that, like, again, he's doing stuff that they haven't preached and that actually trainers probably have gone against.
Is that right?
Well, do you remember, too, Bill Belichick used to send him up to this. They wouldn't let his trainer into the stupid locker room.
So what's he doing? That's what I mean.
I don't know. He's throwing tutties is what he's doing.
He's throwing tutties.
Throwing tutty after tutty.
Looking amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so...
Wait, are you now just hip to the fact that Tom Brady's handsome?
No, but you got
to
admit, go look for 15 years ago. He's
fucking
guy is...
What you're feeling is that he was always handsome, but now he shouldn't be 32-year-old handsome when he's 44.
It's a joke, man.
He continues to get better in everything. His acting, his comedy.
Doesn't make any sense.
That
fucking guy. I mean, really. Fuck him.
Do we have time? Do we have time for a couple more things? What do we got here?
Hurry up.
Should I save this for the next Unhinged? I want to know, and speaking of guys who I admire, and my wife accuses me of having a man crush on Carm. Carm does things so well. The guy fucking cooks. The guy, he's a chef. The things
he
that
does
he...
does have a bit of a temper.
Clean.
But,
you know, right. A little bit. A little Italian temper.
Right. He's got the temper. Yeah, like all these things, Eric, you know it. Like he knows
bourbon. Like a drunken sailor.
But he's a worldly guy, too. He's got a good vocabulary. He's correcting... he's correcting this morning, right, things that Cap's saying. He's like, no, word. What you really mean is this.
I think Carm's on your five things that make you feel warm and fuzzy.
He does all these things. Sports, movies. He can quote every fucking movie. Yeah. He cooks. This guy, he's got a wide open parking spot. With not one fucking guy to his left.
He's the straddler.
Not one guy to the right.
You're a straddler.
Not one guy. I've not come into the parking garage one fucking day, and he's never been inside the line.
You're a straddler.
He's never been.
You're a straddler.
How the fuck?
Yeah.
Do you not know how to put your car when you're solo? And then now it's a chain reaction. Because now Waddle's got to compensate. He parks next to you. And so Waddle's got to be outside the lines. And then there's only three of these
domino
spots.
Effect.
So now I'm over the line for the next person.
You're straddling.
But it starts because no one is next to you. And you're like Cody Parkey where you're hitting
I'm
the
hitting
post.
The part of it, I think, is because I'm the first one in. It's wide open, and I get careless. The other thing I don't like about our parking garage are the double lines.
Yeah.
I don't like
just
that.
Just give me one.
Give me one line. I only need one line to park. I don't like the double line.
Yeah.
And so I always get out of the car. I'm like, fuck, I'm on this thing again.
Not one day. Have you ever been inclined to get back in your fucking car
really
and put
bad.
It in the
no.
spot it deserves to
no,
be in?
No, I usually just leave
you're
it.
You're a straddler.
I'm like, there's nobody here.
You're a straddler.
I've held this for weeks. It's pissed me off, but it was because of Carm and Yurko using these spots that take ESPN on it. Waddle and I never used to take them.
We started using them during COVID. I don't know if we're still...
Now, how many times, though, Sylvia, I actually gotten out of the car and repositioned mine, being a good soldier for everybody else that's coming in?
Yeah, I think
I'm not a straddler, or I don't intentionally straddle.
Waddle had a bad parking job the other day when you guys were out or you had already left, and I said, what are you over
Carmen?
Here? Are you Carmen? I mean, you're all.
I'm telling you, I overshot it.
That double line is this. It's there's something funky. I'm just telling you. I always look at it. I'm like, why are there two lines?
It is a domino effect. Next thing you know, there's seven cars with dents in their fucking front doors because nobody can get out of the car.
Carmen started it all off.
How about the guys in the parking garage? Who purposely take up two spots.
I hate that. Because they don't want a guy next to them.
Yeah. That's an asshole move.
And by the way, when you
spit on the dude's window.
It's a 2004 Astro van.
Yeah, like what?
Like it's got more dents in it than my fucking face.
Yurk, what are the do's and don'ts? Because people have said, look, you never key another person's car.
My favorite is urinating on the guy's door handle.
Oh, God. Yurk.
Urinate right on the door handle.
Why not hike it up and drop a deuce on it?
No, because that calls for toilet paper.
Wait. Have you actually pissed on someone's
I've
door
urinated
handle?
On a door handle of a guy that was being a jerk. Yeah,
I wouldn't
absolutely.
Put it
I'd go outside and smell your door handle, Sylvie.
We better be careful next time you touch that door.
I'll be honest. I don't know what kind of cars you guys drive. Carmen's got a Nissan, I think.
Yes, I do.
But if I had to go through a parking lot and try to pick out his Nissan, it'd be impossible.
Well, you know where I park.
It's because now you guys use these ESPN spots.
I hope we don't get in trouble for that. I don't know whose they belong
to. Get in trouble. First of all, you can't get a towing vehicle in
there.
Yeah, that's the secret.
Right. Yeah. No, you can't. Do you know how much effort it takes to get one of those towers in there?
They can't get a tow truck in there.
No, I one time did have to.
I hit a pothole coming down Lake Street. I got into the garage.
You had to change your tire.
Did it come out?
Because it was so badly damaged, I couldn't even change my tire, so I called a tow truck. The guy, he did say, he goes, you got to get it down on Lake Street for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So we had to go in. I'm trying to remember what I did. I think I did roll it down, and I mean, you could just hear it rolling on like the rims, like bent.
Boop, the whole thing.
It was crazy. But he did say, he had a flatbed truck. He was a tow truck driver with the flatbed, and he goes, you got to get it out of there. I can't get it.
I will say this, and Yurk, you probably will attest to this as well. The newer cars, I don't know how it is, because I know Yurk's got a pickup truck.
You got a big truck.
But
I do.
But like for just your average 4x4, or your SUV rather, like just say like it's a Jeep Grand Cherokee, you know, if you have a flat tire, the jack they give you barely is capable of getting a fucking Toyota Corolla up.
Oh, how could that be?
I'm just telling you.
Oh, yeah, dude. They went cheap with the
jacks. The jacks, like, I mean, I have had to change a tire twice in, like, the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And the first time I did it, the thing collapsed. You ever have a jack collapse on you?
No, are you
And you
serious?
Had to get it.
That's dangerous.
Of course it is.
God.
Like, the jacks they give you these days to fix or to get your car up and
get your
wheel changed.
Yeah, be careful.
Absolute crap.
All right, don't forget, Carmen and Yurko every day, 10 to noon. Waddle and Sylvie every day, 2 to 6. We don't get to crosstalk together, so we do crosstalk unhinged. Tell your friends about that.
Bears will win Sunday, I bet, though. It'll be one
I got him
one.
Winning, yeah. too.
I think I'm going to pick him 23-20.
Yeah, sounds about right. Just barely cover that
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I mean, spreads like, at 2.5, so yeah, that's a good one. Good
call. Look, I like the kid playing quarterback at the Bengals, though. That kid is
too.
Legit.
Yeah,
you think out. Joe Burrow? I mean, he's the number one quarterback, came out the year before.
I'm just telling you, there have been other guys that have come out and been number one and pooped themselves.
At Orgeron's
not. Poopies.
Not so easy to win without Joe Burrow in Baton Rouge right now. At Orgeron's learning that. All right, boys, that it?
Yeah, I think that's good.
All right,
yeah.
Enjoy week two, everybody. We'll see you next week. Tommy, why don't you go fuck yourself?